Title: Project Cleanup Before Final Mixdown Intermediate. Alright, welcome back. In this lesson we're doing the unsexy, but absolutely game-changing part of drum and bass production in Ableton Live, Project Cleanup, before the final mixdown. Because here's the truth, if your session is messy, you will mix slower, you'll second-guess everything, and you'll get blindsided by stuff like random clipping, missing samples, mystery sidechains, CPU crackles, and that classic moment where a reverb send suddenly explodes for no reason right before the drop. Today we're turning your creative sketch into a predictable, mix-ready session that feels more like a template. By the end, you're aiming for a session where you can hit play at the loudest drop and think, cool, stable, organized, and I can start mixing immediately. Let's go step by step. First, step 0, save a safety snapshot. Do this before anything else. Go to File, Save Live Set As, and name it something like Track Name V12 Premix Cleanup. The key is that it's clearly labeled as your premix cleanup version. And here's the mindset. Cleanup involves committing, deleting, freezing, flattening. You want a rollback point. If you're even slightly attached to a sound design chain, you want the option to go back. Optional right now, but mandatory before export later. Collect all and save. If your project uses samples from random folders, this is how you prevent heartbreak in 2 weeks when something can't be found. Now step 1. Set your mixdown posture. This is all about levels, headroom, and not lying to yourself with the master chain. If you've been writing with a limiter on the master, or a clipper, or some loudness chain to make it feel like a finished tune, disable it for now. Not forever. Just for cleanup and the early mix. Because mixing into a limiter is like trying to balance on a trampoline. Your decisions get distorted. Now play the loudest part of your drop and check your master peak. A really solid target for the stage is around -6 dB FS at the loudest point. That gives you headroom for proper mix moves later. If your project is too hot, don't start pulling down random individual tracks yet. Go to your top-level groups, like drums, bass, music, effects, vocals, and pull those down by 3 to 6 dB. Use utility on the group buses for clean gain trims. This keeps your internal balances intact while you create headroom. Quick teacher tip. Throw a spectrum on the master temporarily. Not to mix yet, just a sanity check. Is your sub doing something wild? Is there a painful high-end ridge that's going to destroy your ears? Just a quick reality check. Step 2. Clean up the arrangement for DNB structure. Drum and bass is impact-based and often DJ-friendly, which means your session needs to be readable. You want to see the tune in blocks. Go into Arrangement View and add locators. Intro, Build, Drop 1, a mid or variation section, Break, Drop 2, Outro, and label them clearly like Intro DJ Mix and Outro DJ Mix, because that reminds you of the functional purpose. Then check your phrasing. In DNB, most of your big moves should line up in 8, 16, or 32 bar chunks. If something is weirdly 5 bars long and it's not intentional, it's going to feel off, and it's also harder to mix and edit. Now do a quick DJ readiness check. Is there enough clean foundation in the intro to mix in? Is the outro stable enough to mix out, without a huge fill happening every bar? And are there any accidental stops caused by automation that would ruin a blend? Practical upgrade ideas if your structure feels flat. Add a 2-bar pre-drop fill where you remove the sub for a bar, then slam it back and with impact. Or do the classic half-bar stop right before the drop. And for drop 2, you don't need to rewrite the whole tune. Duplicate drop 1, then change 2 things, maybe the different hats density, a call and response rhythm change in the bass, or one signature fill every 16 bars. Same tune, new angle. Step 3. Consolidate clips and remove ghost edits. This is one of the biggest pro session differences. If your track is full of tiny chopped clips everywhere, one accidental slip can ruin transients, and your breaks will start feeling inconsistent. For each track, highlight the active region you actually use, and consolidate with Command or Control J. For Audino, consolidate chopped edits into single clips per phrase or per section. For classic breaks like an Amen, consolidate in 8-bar chunks. That way you're not relying on dozens of micro-edits staying perfectly in place forever. Then delete unused clip fragments. If it's not part of the tune, get it out of the way, and do a warp mode check. Drums and breaks often behave best in beats mode. Vocals often need complex or complex pro. Resampled bass audio might need tones or complex depending on the material. This is less about rules and more about preventing. Why does this sound smeared now? Later. Step 4. Naming, coloring, and ordering. Fast and strict. You should be able to understand this session at 3 a.m. with your brain half offline. Get your track order consistent. Generally, returns near the top, then drum groups, bass groups, music and synths, vocals, effects, and a muted reference track lane. Color code aggressively. Drums in red or orange, bass in green, music in blue, vocals purple, effects gray, utilities and reference in yellow. The exact colors don't matter. Consistency does. Then name tracks like a person who wants to finish music, not audio 17. Name it kick punch, snare main, hats close shuffle, break amen 16 bar, subsign mono, res mid, neuro growl resample. The goal is zero mystery. Step 5. Grouping and routing like a pro. Deed and beat edition. Make clear top level groups. Drums group, bass group, music group, vocals group if you have them, and an effects group. Inside drums, consider subgroups, kick and snare, tops, breaks. That separation is huge in D&B. It lets you shape breaks without destroying your simple air, and it lets you punch the kick and snare without flattening the whole drum picture. Now returns. Create three solid returns that cover most D&B needs. A short room reverb, a delay like echo for rhythmic vibe, and a parallel drum smash bus. For the short room reverb, keep it tight. Think decay under a second, a bit of pre-delay so it doesn't smear the transient, and definitely high pass the low end. You generally don't want sub information going into reverb unless it's a special effect. For delay, set something like 1/8 or dotted values for jungle flavor, filter the feedback, and keep it controlled. For the parallel drum smash, glue compressor into saturator, then EQ after. Hit it hard, like 5 to 10 dB of gain reduction, add some drive, but then roll off the sub on that return, maybe below 80 to 120 Hz. That keeps the parallel aggression from eating your headroom and wrecking the drop. Step 6. Sidechain cleanup. Make it intentional. No mystery pumping. D&B projects collect sidechains like dust. Kick to bass, snare to res, ghost kick to pads, and suddenly nothing feels consistent. Decide your main sidechain drivers. Often it's a C kick, and maybe a C snare if you want snare breathing. If needed, create a dedicated ghost sidechain track. Name it SC Ghost Kick. Put operator on it with a short click or sign, or use a short sample. The key is that it's consistent and clearly labeled. Then go to your compressors and make it obvious what each one is listening to. Ableton won't label the sidechain inside the device in a super clear way, so help yourself. Rename the device compressor SC Kick or something similar. For a typical bass dock, fast attack, release tune to groove, ratio around 4 to 1, and aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. And remember, release time is groove design. Faster release feels tighter and more energetic. Slower release makes it pump and breathe. Step 7. CPU and stability. Freeze, flatten, resample smartly. D&B bass design is notorious for melting CPUs. If the sound is done, print it. Freeze the heavy tracks. If you're sure, flatten. If you want a classic resample workflow, create an audio track called Bass Prints. Set the input to resampling or from your bass group, and record key phrases. The magic here is that once it's audio, you can edit like jungle. Micro cuts, reverses, stutters, clean transitions. Teacher rule of thumb. Commit anything CPU expensive or time-wasting, but keep the core musical decisions editable. So maybe you keep kick and snare sources live, keep the sub synth live, keep main vocal timing editable, but print the neuro rack that takes 5 seconds to load and spikes your CPU every time you touch a macro. Step 8. Device chain sanity. Remove writer's clutter. Go track by track. Delete muted devices. Delete maybe later devices. If you have 3 saturators doing half a job, pick one that has a clear purpose. Also check chain order. A common clean order is cleanup EQ first, then dynamics, then tone and saturation, then effects. Track level limiting is usually rare in D&B mixing unless you have a very specific reason. For a snare chain example, EQ a to clear mud around 200 to 350 if needed, maybe a small crack lift around 3 to 6k if it needs it. Then drum bus for a bit of drive and punch, subtle. In D&B, it's easy to go too far and end up papery, so if you're not sure, back it off. Step 9. Gain staging. Fix clips, trim inputs, unify levels. If any track is clipping pre-fader, don't just pull down the fader and call it fixed. Put utility first in the chain and trim it down, maybe minus 3 to minus 12 dB depending on how hot it is. This matters because you want faders to behave like mix controls, not emergency input trims. When faders become damage control, it's harder to mix with precision. Then check your group meters. Drums might peak somewhere like minus 10 to minus 6 on their own, leaving room for bass. The exact number isn't holy, but the principle is, Groups should hit the master with headroom and without surprise spikes. Step 10. Returns and sends. Clean and consistent. Rename returns clearly. Make return tracks 100% wet. Always. Put EQ on returns and cut low end. Reverb and delay low end builds mud fast in DNB, and mud kills loudness and impact. Then check sends. In general, don't send sub bass to reverb. If you want a special moment, automate it intentionally and print it if needed, but don't let it happen accidentally for the whole track. Step 11. Reference track lane. Essential. Create an audio track named REF track. Keep it muted. Drop in a reference in the same lane of DNB you're aiming for. Put utility on it and pull it down by 10 to 16 dB so it doesn't trick you into mixing too loud. And route it straight to the master, bypassing your groups. That way you're comparing to the reference fairly, not through your drum bus processing. Now, extra coach move. Do a quick health check pass to prove there are no surprises. First, do a solo in place check. While the drop plays, solo each top group one at a time. You're listening for sudden level jumps, forgotten automation, stray tails, rogue distortion, or one clip that's clearly misbehaving. Next, press A to show automation lanes and scan them. Look for volume automation on individual tracks that really belongs on a group. Look for hidden send automation, because that is a super common reason effects suddenly go crazy in one bar. And do a mono or phase reality check on the low end. Put utility on the bass group and toggle width to 0% for a few seconds during the drop. If the sub changes drastically, something down low is too stereo, or you've got phase issues from whitening or chorus or bass effects. In DNB, sub is sacred. Keep it mono and stable. Optional but powerful. Build a tiny mix utilities row at the top of your set. A metering track. A sidechain audition track, so you can actually hear your ghost kick when troubleshooting. And a notes track, where you write things like drop 2 needs new hook or mono issue at bar 65. That turns your project into a system. This audio version is shortened for playback.